listening to our New Chapel podcast. We're for people to connect with God and be raised to new life in Christ. Be sure to connect with us at newchapel.com and on social media to stay up to date on everything happening here at New Chapel.
You know what's amazing about all of the things that God has blessed us with, the common denominator between them all, is the fact that we had talked about them forever before they ever happened. So we have three children and one more on the way. That's a lot. But as far as that's concerned, like Kai and I talked about kids for the decade before our first son, Aurelio, was born. We even talked about his name being Aurelio. That's my middle name and my grandpa's name. Good, strong Sicilian name. Come on, somebody. And so my little boy, right? And so we talked about that. And we talked about how we were going to dress him. Because I just don't like how most people dress their kids. Y'all look like rugrats. Get him a collar on. Come on. Nobody's going to hire Aurelio without a collar. And so like, I had a pastor friend give me some pushback on that, a real mentor in my life. It was actually Pastor George. And he said, you need to let your kids be able to dress, you know, and have some fun, do whatever. So I let Aurelio buy a t-shirt. And so he has one of those. Kai and I talked about how to discipline our kids and how to love them and just how our family culture was going to be. We talked about the home that we wanted to build for just a decade. And you know what's amazing? We got these kids and we live in the home. And it's crazy. Like that home is a drawing that I drew, something that we talked about. Like, what would you like? Oh, I'd like this. I'd like it to be like that. And we live in it now. The things that we enjoy in our life, like the church, is something that we talked about for so long. And in fact, my great pickup line for Kaya was, hey, have you ever considered being a pastor's wife? I didn't have long hair, but, you know, that's been our heart, is to plant a life-giving church, and we're living in it today. We created our world. We framed our world with our words. It's an amazing thing, and it really shows that we had to do that beyond even seeing it. We saw the future that God had for us long before we ever saw it. We had to have vision about the great things that he had for us without ever having any inkling or feeling, as we might sing, that it's ever going to happen. We had a hope beyond hope that God was going to come through in a big way. Hallelujah that he has, and he's going to. And I got to tell you guys, as a church, when we start talking about the concept of vision, I got to tell you, God has called New Chapel to a spot of influence. It's not because we're so great. It's not because we have everything put together. It's because God has called the local church to influence. And he has a call on this body to do incredible things in Grand Rapids and in the region to the glory of God. But I'm going to tell you something. We're going to have to start talking it. We're going to have to start believing it beyond what we see. We're going to have to believe God for some big things, set some audacious goals out in front of us. And I believe God has called us to incredible things. I can't wait to bring it out to you. You know, thinking about clarity, right? I talked about this last week, and I ended the whole message last week with this one passage out of John 20:20. And it says this, that the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. But it continues. The whole spiritual journey that Jesus has on them continues. And it says, again, Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, remember this, so I am sending you. And then he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Every born-again Christian is spirit-filled, but that doesn't mean that they're spirit-baptized. Two different things. He said, receive the Holy Spirit. One of the 12 disciples, Thomas, nicknamed the twin, you didn't think that the Bible had nicknames, was not with the others when Jesus came. So they told him, we've seen the Lord. And he replied, I won't believe it unless I see it. He determined that he had to see it first. I got to see the nail wounds in his hands, put my fingers in them, and place my hand into the wound of his side. Verse 26, 8 days later, the disciples were together again, and this time Thomas was with them. Jesus was standing among them, and he said to Thomas, put your finger here and look at my hands. Put your hand in the wound of my side. Don't be faithless any longer. Believe. He's not trying to embarrass him, and I'm sure that Thomas was absolutely humiliated, but he's trying to actually say, don't be faithless. He's inviting him to a life of belief. And Thomas says, my Lord, my God. And Jesus says to him, you believe because you've seen me. Check this, guys. Blessed are those who believe without seeing me. You know, last week when we ended and the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord, I will tell you, if you saw the Lord, you'd be overjoyed. But at the same time, that doesn't mean that you're going to stay with him. And in fact, when Jesus rose from the dead, he was on earth for about 40 days, taught the disciples, and there was round about 300 of them that saw Jesus and learned under him. They saw him, you know, be crucified. They saw him raised from the dead 40 days on earth. And then he says, the last thing before he goes and he's ascended up to heaven is he says, hey, gang, listen, I'm going to heaven. You go wait in the upper room because I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. How many people were in the upper room? Only 120. So if you saw the Lord physically, that's not a guarantee that you're going to be with him. It's those that saw, that believed in here. They saw with eyes of faith. And this is Jesus inviting the Christian into a lifestyle, a walk with him, where you don't just live by what you see physically. You know, the book of, I think it's 2 Corinthians, says we walk by faith, not by sight. It's so easy to walk by how things look like, to take a gauge of the wind and make your decisions based on that. And I'm not discounting good godly wisdom, but I am saying that God has called you out of everything that's going to be comfortable. Every move that you make isn't going to feel totally secure. When he calls you into the unknown, it feels a little bit different, but it's better that way. It's the only way that you're going to become everything that he has called you to be. Jesus is taking them, and I believe all of us, on a spiritual journey in this passage. What is it? Write it down. We need to see the invisible to do the impossible. There might be things that in your family tree are impossible. There's no way that I could do that. My family are crazy. Guys, I got to tell you, it is a total anomaly that I'm a preacher. If I could tell you, the alcoholics and the drug addicts and the raging, the fighting, the tempers, the wars, stories of people that were very rich and pompous, stories of people that were very poor and pompous. It's a complete anomaly that I would ever be a preacher, but here I am. And I'm not saying everyone in this room is going to be a preacher, but I am saying that God is calling you out of your comfort zone and your pedigree has no implication on your call. Somebody say amen. You got to see the invisible. You got to see things that aren't there yet. You got to begin to frame your world with saying, I see this. I see what it could look like. And you frame it with your words with things that you currently don't see. I got to tell you, I prayed a lot about this year, Kaya and I did. And God, I'm praying to him and I'm saying, God, what is New Chapel for this year? And I got a lot of cool things to share with you. But before I do that, I want to talk to some of the people in the room that maybe you came from a background like me, or maybe you're new to church altogether and you're wondering why we're talking about vision. You know, the church that I grew up in was more known for what we were against than what we were for. In fact, write that down. Most churches are known for what they're against instead of what they're for. We were against going to the movie theater. We're not going to that house of sin. No way. We're not going there to go see any movies in the movie house. No way. I remember I went to a Christian camp and we had to take the Badger over to Wisconsin. Then we drove about 2-3 hours up to Dunbar, Wisconsin, which you don't know where it is. But on the Badger, they had a little movie theater and they were playing The Little Mermaid. And I went in and sat in on that with a couple other kids. And the youth leader came up to me and said, we don't go to movie theaters. I said, it's Little Mermaid. I'm 15. You know, like, can we figure this out? I just want something to do on the Badger. And so I was not allowed to do that. Like, they were going to send me home if I went to the theater. My gosh! What were they for? Couldn't tell you, but we were against the movie theater. We weren't going to do that by any means. I think about some churches that get all after people about wearing makeup. I prescribe to what Kenneth E. Hagin said, which is, if the barn needs painting, paint it. Shame the devil and tell the truth, somebody. You all know somebody in your life you want to get a Mac gift card to today, you know? And so, here, apply this, take two of these, call me in the morning, you know? Hope you're not sitting next to them. But anyway, you know, some churches, they're totally against dancing of any kind. In fact, my church was so against dancing. They couldn't handle the thought of it. We also were against premarital sex for a very important reason. We thought premarital sex might lead to social dancing. Everybody. And so, like, so these things that we were against were what we were known for. But you know what we weren't known for? Really changing a lot of people's lives. We weren't even really talking about what we were known for. And I believe that the Church of Jesus Christ is called to more than that. Write this down. We can't be more interested in being right than being real with the message. Oh, Pastor Joe, there's a right and wrong. I know, because I'm right. Like, I'm not discounting being right. But let's speak the truth in love. Let's be known about the things that we are for in this world. And it's not that New Chapel isn't against anything. We are against a lot of that. I mean, think about child trafficking. I'm against it, right? Like, but how do we open up a conversation with somebody? Is it about the list of things that we're against? Or can we broker a relationship? And as we get into this, you're going to assume some Christian values. You're going to be taught some Christian values. Does that make sense, everybody? And so, guys, we need to realize that we got to be real with the message. You know, I don't know if you've ever seen this church sign before. Maybe it's completely new to you, but this is called Deeper Life Church. And I like what they have there on the sign. We're right. Anybody come from that church in the house? You know, a lot of churches end up becoming like this. This is fake, by the way, just to help everybody out. Don't look for that sign in Grand Rapids. But a lot of churches become just all about growth, meaning depth. And they stop reaching out to people to get them born again. And it happens for a lot of different reasons. Maybe the church at one season was very evangelistic and they were stepping over people to reach new people, and eventually the bottom fell out and there was no real growth, no real substance, and their church really bottomed out, so they just start discipling. And what they mean by discipling is just giving them more of the word and more of the word and more of the word. You know, deeper does not always mean more knowledge. I can tell you the most deep scripture in the Bible is love your enemies, pray for those that despitefully use you, right? Like, that's deep because it's hard to do. It's not deep because it's confusing. And so discipleship is not just learning more about the Bible. Write this down. It's not learning more about the Bible. It's learning to live more like the church shown in the Bible, right? Like, I've known some people that actually knew very little, like, biblical history, knew very little about the order of the books, anything like that, but they were living a wonderful Christian life. They were living a dynamic existence before the Lord, reaching people, growing in Him. And I've known people that have known a ton about the Bible, and they're jerks. I went to Bible school with a lot of them, you know, like seriously. And so the common denominator is not going, nom, 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 let's become deeper, 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 deeper. It's us becoming for something that God is for. It's us becoming about what God is about. Begs the question, what is God for, and therefore, what should we be for? And guys, I found it. Classic scripture, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God is for the world. God is for people. He's for people, New Chapel. Write that down. God is for people, so we're for people. You want to know the dynamic vision that New Chapel has for 2020? Our 2020 vision is that we're for people. We're for students in the area. We're for teenagers, and we're for kids. We're for snot-nosed kids, you know, the ones that use their sleeve, everybody. I'm for that awkward middle schooler, and he's just growing up, and his head's too big for his body, and his nose is all big. He's going to grow into it, but he's real awkward now. And you get up to him, oh, it stinks so bad, you know, because he hasn't found out that Old Spice works. And I'm for middle schoolers. I'm for very cavalier teenagers. I'm for those girls on the cheerleading team that think they're all that in a bag of chips. I'm for kids that are out of place. I'm for kids from divorced homes. I'm for the divorced parents. I'm for kids from Kennewick Hills High School and Comstock Park and Sparta and the kids that are going over there, Walker Charter Academy. Guys, I'm for people. I'm for people that are rich. I'm for people that are poor. I'm for the angry people, the hurt people, the marginalized people. I'm for every race. I'm for people from Sparta. Jesus reached Sparta. And that's you. That's your church. What's the big vision, Pastor Joe? We're for people. And we've said it that way since the very beginning of this whole church. We say it this way. We're for people to connect with God and be raised to new life in Christ. We want people to have a connection point with Jesus, meet the real Jesus, know him, and then we want them to be raised to new life. That means that we want people to obviously find freedom and then discover their purpose, and then ultimately they're going to take part in that whole connection thing. They're going to make a difference and connect people to God. That's the vision from the very beginning of this house. And I'm going to tell you something. We've drifted. The last 2 years, I've been so busy steadying the ship and working on the business end and trying to right the ship in many ways that we've missed out on evangelistic opportunity. At the same time, I've sown into people and we've had depth in our church like never before. But what I've found with God is that there's a respiration to the gospel. There's discipleship and evangelism. And when it breathes in and out, that's when a church does what it's called to do. And so New Chapel, it's a new season. And we're going into 2020 with fresh vision from God, where we're for people, and we're going to see those people reached and discipled at the same time. Can I get an amen, somebody? So the first thing that we need to do here as a church is we need to know we're for people, we're for the next generation. Write that down. We're for the next generation of people. We're for them. We want to reach the next generation in a very purposeful way. Go ahead and throw up that slide of our next move. This is a season that we're in as a church. Maybe you heard about this. Maybe you've already pledged. Maybe you missed this whole thing because you're new or missed the season. But our next move is a very conscious and calculated effort by all of you to be able to reach the next generation, not just of the kids, the teenagers and kids that attend New Chapel, but of their friends and those families that have not attended here yet. If you look at this particular drawing, that area that's peach colored is area that we already own. In fact, when you drive up on our church, which is ugly as sin, I admit it, I'm working on getting a good storefront, everybody, but everything that you see that's gray, we own. But about 4,800 square feet of that, we don't occupy right now. Now think of this opportunity. New Chapel does not have to put a dime on building the structure to be able to get in there and occupy. Now, there's renovation costs and different things we have to do with HVAC and fire alarms and sprinkling and things like that. But all things being equal, when you look at that, we're going to be able to go in there and add 5 classrooms to new kids. That's incredible. That's incredible. That's making room for growth, which I'm going to talk about in a second. The second thing that's going to do is, if you look over there, that blue dot that's in the middle, that big square, that currently is the new kids' room, and what it's going to become is the youth lounge. This is going to be the area that on Sunday mornings, middle schoolers are going to be able to have their own service. Because I get it. They're in an awkward stage where they're coming out on new kids, but they're not quite ready for me. I'm an espresso shot, right? And so what we need to do is have a service that's a little bit more like this, with a youth pastor, a middle school pastor, that can sow into them at the level that they're at. So we're going to offer that both on Sunday mornings, but then also on Wednesday nights, we're going to start a consistent youth ministry. That's where we're going to have different pool tables and foosball tables and air hockey and all kinds of fun stuff. We're going to put them on dollies and roll them out. We're going to clear out our lobby space, have all the fun game area out there. And I'm telling you, if they don't think this is cool, I just don't know what to do anymore. Like, this looks great. We're going to have the worship band going, and we're going to have a dynamic message. We're going to hire a youth pastor, some guy that's not like your pastor, you know what I'm talking about, got dad bod going on. We need some like trim guy looking like Pastor Brian, look like Greek God preaching. We're going to win those cheerleaders in Jesus' name. And so, anyway, so here's what I'm saying. We're all about kids, and we're all about teenagers, and we're going to reach them, guys. And we have a concrete plan to do that. And with that being said, there is a pledge card. If you haven't pledged, you need to pray over that. But I do want to say to those of you that have pledged, thank you. Thank you. You've taken this so seriously. And guys, we can't do it without you. Now, I do want to say this. We started this campaign at perhaps the worst time to start a capital campaign because it was our miracle offering on the first Sunday of December. Everybody knows you're going into Christmas, and then everybody gets their credit card bill in January. Anybody else just January's fog? Like, I don't even know what's happening in January. February, great. And so to those of you that, we've encouraged all those that pledged to give online as a recurring gift. If you forgot about that, I just want to tell you, NBD, like no one's upset or anything like that, jump in and set it up as recurring. Now, here's what we're going to do. You pledged to do this. I know that this is serious for you. So on Monday and Tuesday, we're going to have some people in the office, people that work here, that they're not going to know all your business, but they're just going to give you a call and help you to get on recurring giving. And so if you want to avoid that call, just do your recurring giving, but they're going to give you a call just to help you because it's something you pledged to do, and we know that you're taking it seriously, and as a church, we're going to take it seriously. I'll go and throw up that next slide of our next move campaign where you see the student ministry and some of the renovations that we want to do back in that youth lounge and some of the things that we believe that we can do as a setup and tear down on those dollies with different game and social areas out in our lobby area. Next slide, I want to show you our kids area. Now, you've seen our kids area. It's pretty cool. This is where we're going. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I grew up in a church that was very sincere, but some of the things that they were doing were, with the right heart, But as the old preacher said, God bless their darling heart and their stupid head. They were putting up a felt board with little felt guys on it, and it was like, that's cool. You know, we're watching cable at the time. Well, think about your kids. You guys give your kids an iPad for me to compete with, okay? So we have a sight and sound generation that we need to make sure that we're doing all this cool stuff inside the main sanctuary. We need to be doing it back there for those kids. And you look at that. I even like the series that we put up there on the screens. Origin story. Looks like Marvel. Looks cool. And that is the type of messages that they need to hear. They need to have illustrated sermons every single week. They need to have different illustrations they can walk home with. We need to have different crafts. If you look how the seats are set up, they're both going to be able to stand up and have worship just like us, but also they're in a built-in small group already. Now, that same room, if you look at that, we'd be able to take all of the chairs out of it, and if you had younger kids in there that don't do well on seats, we have multicolored carpet tiles down there, and you could tell, okay, all the boys you get on the orange, and all the girls you get on the green. Does that make sense, everybody? Now, you may not think that that's cool, but I served back in kids, and I needed those colored carpet tiles to the glory of God and didn't have them, and so my church is going to have them. Here's what I'm saying. That is the act of a church that cares about the next generation and isn't just going to say, I care about the next generation and get off this pulpit and not do anything. That would be called a pipe dream. A vision is when we visioneer this thing and say, guys, we have a plan. And we have a plan to reach the next generation. Give as much as God tells you to give into this because we want to take good ground in 2020. Somebody say amen. Second thing that God has called us to do is as far as being for people in 2020 is this. Write this down. We're for people to grow. We're for people to grow. I say, Pastor Joe, that does not sound like a dynamic vision. Well, let me just tell you, it is. Every once in a while, I'll have somebody just ask me, like, Pastor Joe, I've gone through New Chapel Connect, and I know that you said that it was just a first step into discipleship, but I want more. And you ask them, and they're not in a small group, and they haven't really participated in serving, and so I understand if they feel detached, but also part of me was like, listen, we got to do something else where if somebody is a new believer, or maybe they've been a believer for 30 years and they just don't understand all the basics. We got to help them get a grip on the basics of the Christian faith. And so that is the reason why we begin to dream about a process that we could take every single person through as a church. And if they wanted to grow deeper, there was the next step for them to grow deeper. And so we're calling that, this is the first time we're going to debut this new logo and this new program. It's called Connect and Raise. I'm excited about this. This is a real plan for growth. Now, the first step of that, if you look at the very top, part one is New Chapel Connect, but we changed it. It used to be four parts, the first, second, third, and fourth week of every month. We're still going to be meeting four times a month, but what we've cut it down to is two different parts. You can read it up there. It's called Partnership 1 and Engagement 2. It's a very focused 2 weeks. Now, here's the focus. The first week talks about the vision, who we are as a church, and how you can partner with that vision. It's the way to join the church and become a partner here. So we share the vision, and then the second week is called Engagement 2. This is where we say, hey, like we've made the vision clear, now run with the vision. Become part of a small group and join a team. That's what New Chapel Connect is all about. I want you to remember that. The second step in this process is called New Chapel Grow. Now, if you look up there, this is something that is actually going to coincide with all of our small groups. Now, this is pretty cool. This is going to be the process where we share the basics of the Christian faith. Like, how does being saved work? What do you mean, Holy Spirit? That's weird. Or I was taught that. Show me scripture on it. You know, you can't argue with the Bible, everybody. You know what I'm talking about? And so we're going to teach about some of these things and show people. This would be perfect for somebody that just got saved or somebody that's like, I believe in Jesus, and that is the depth of my spiritual knowledge. Like, I like the songs we sing. Great. Jump into New Chapel Grow. Nobody's upset with you. Like, but take another step. Take another step in Jesus. And so that's going to coincide with our small groups. It'll be Tuesday nights here at the church at 6:30 starting the first week in February. Pastor Brian and I are going to be leading that. But I've been looking at some of the families in our church to be a part of New Chapel Grow. I'm looking at the Crows and the Call Groves and some of the rest of you out there, and I want you to attend it. Now, it might shore up some foundation that you don't know. I doubt it with the Call Groves. They know everything. They were the only people that are so holy. They were saved by osmosis. Praise God. But for the rest of us peasants, I made Sheila so uncomfortable right there. I love you so much. I'm messing with you. For the rest of us that want to learn and grow, I want to get leaders in there because I don't want to be the only one that teaches that group. I want some of the rest of you that get a grip on the basics to be able to go out there and help other people and lead these groups. This is not meant to be one thing that's happening at one time. This could be happening all over the city at different times led by different people. So if you're interested in leading something like that, that would mean a lot to me personally. And I'd love to be able to spend some time with you at the group training you to lead that New Chapel Grow small group. So sign up for it. You can do that inside the lobby after church today. The third step in Connect and Raise is called New Chapel Know. And in particular, what we're talking about is knowing the real Jesus. So different than New Chapel Grow, which is a little bit academic, we're like really teaching you the basics of the faith, New Chapel Know is going to be a little bit different. Here's what it is. We want to minister to you the freedom that we've received. And that means this. We're going to deal with some heart wounds. We're going to deal with some issues from the past, maybe some parent wounds that you have. We want to talk to you a little bit about, like, are you dealing with a pet sin that you don't want anybody to know about and you can't figure out how to deal with it yourself? Like, we're not going to expose you in any way, but we're going to give you the tools to deal with those things. And it's called the real Jesus, like New Chapel Know the real Jesus, because we want to get real. And I get it. You can be saved and not really press into these issues, but you'll never be as free as you're called to be. What's different about this particular session, and it is an 8-week small group. We're going to launch this in the fall, but what's different about it is this. At the end of the 8 weeks, we're going to have something called the Real Jesus Weekend. At Real Jesus Weekend, it's going to be Friday night from probably 6 o'clock to 9:30, and then Saturday from, say, 9 a.m. until 3:30. And this is going to be a little bit of worship, a little bit of teaching, and a little bit of ministry, rinse and repeat. And we're gonna really deal with some of the issues that we all have in our life and get free before the Lord. That might sound a little bit granola to you. If you know anything about me and you know anything about the church, I promise you it's not going to be weird. It's going to be awesome. And we're going to see people actually find the freedom that they've desired in their Christian walk with God. You wonder why I accepted God, but not everything's perfect. Don't get disillusioned with it. Press in deeper. Get around the real Jesus. He'll change your whole life. Can I get an amen, somebody? Now, the fourth step of this is something we're still developing, but it's called New Chapel Go. Now, at its earliest stages, it was a conversation about really leader training, and that will be part of it. And this is what I'm talking about. The New Chapel Go team, these are the people that are serving your kids or they're serving in the cafe or they're the door greeters or ushers, the band. These people are part of the Go team, but what we want to do is begin to actually sow into and build up some leaders that are not on staff but are leading these different areas of ministry. Now, we've had those in part, but we've really struggled with consistency and communication and programming. So what we want to do is, with New Chapel Go, empower people to lead teams. Now, this is not only Go teams that are serving on Sunday morning, but this would be leading a missions trip, which we've never done as a church. We need to do that. This would be also like empowering people if they wanted to become an intern at the church or maybe start a pastoral residency. We realize that not everybody is called to lead a team. But people can all become part of generosity here at New Chapel. One of the things that we have a forerunner to New Chapel Go is the Our Next Move campaign. But we're going to begin something called the Legacy group. And it's going to be people that have the gift of giving. If right now you kind of tightened up with that, you're not part of the group, you know? It's the people that, when I said gift of giving, they said, tell me more. What's the project? And so with New Chapel Go, it's going to be a little bit diverse because everybody's at a different level, but the whole idea is influence. We want to empower you to make a difference in this world. Connect and Raise, guys. It's already starting, and I believe it's going to be next week we're going to be starting New Chapel Grow. So jump in, sign up out there in the lobby. Okay, I got to move on to small groups and talk to you a little bit about, because I'm talking about growing deeper for people to grow with depth, and part of that is groups. Now, we've offered groups since the first semester that we were a church open in the fall. But I got to tell you, there's a honeymoon phase to every church, and our groups really fell into a funk. And to be perfectly candid with you, I wasn't happy with how they were going. We had some groups that were just awesome. They had the it factor, right? Like, they had it. It was going on. And I had some groups that just, they did not have it. It was awkward. It was weird. Or the leader would be there, and the leader's not there. We're shutting it down. We're growing. It's just, if you know anything about Joe Bevilacqua, consistency is a value of mine. And so what I did was, the last semester, I basically had programming that was the equivalent of like taking a house plant and putting it in the corner and not watering it, okay? I just let it be. It existed. But this semester of small group is actually the seed into where we want to go. And here's what I mean by that. The Colgroves are going to be leading a group called Marriage on the Rock. And I encourage you, if you're looking forward to being married, maybe your marriage is on the rock, maybe your marriage is on the rocks, if that's any of you in this place, jump into the Call Groves. It's going to be at their house, and it's going to be a curriculum-based group. Pretty excited about that. Eli and Hannah Waiters, they're going to be leading the Financial Peace University, which I'm excited about because a lot of you guys don't know jack about money. And so what I want to do is help you to know about it. And here's how I'm going to help you as your pastor. If you pay the $99 and you sign up for the class and you go to everything and do everything you're supposed to do as part of the class, I will reimburse you the $99 at the end of all of it. It'll be a zero impact on you. Now, it's the partners of New Chapel that are going to be paying for that, but I think it's a good investment, don't you, to have our church be financially stable and out of debt somebody? Can I get an amen? Listen, there's more small groups on purpose and even about what we talk about on the weekends. If you want to grow, but you're not in a small group, you don't want to grow here because it's the way that we grow people. And in fact, we get calls for pastoral care. It's like, can you meet us at the hospital? Can you meet at whatever? And we're like, who's your small group leader? And they don't have one. That's really difficult for us because the only way that I can pray for you by name or ensure that you're being prayed for by name every day is if you're part of a small group. Because they take your attendance, they put it down, and that all gets compiled on Monday into a prayer report and a three-ring binder on my desk. I pray for you by name, and your small group leaders pray for you by name every day. But how do I do that if you're not a part of it? And guys, I need you to do it because I got to stand before the Lord and give an account for your life, and I know some of you. And so I need you to get plugged into a group. This week and next, we have the small group fair. Jump in both feet. It's going to be awesome. Third thing is part of our vision this year. So we're going to make room for the next generation. We're for people to grow. And the third thing is we're going to make room for people, make room for them. And we need to do this. First two things I'm going to tell you are things that we currently do, but I want to give you some vision behind it because I don't want to be the church that slides into us being a consumer church, okay? I don't want to be Deeper Life. So here's the idea. When I say, hey, we're having Pastor Tommy, which is going to be next week. Anybody else excited about that? Pastor Tommy's going to be with us? Look at that. I took that picture with my phone because he has no promotional pictures. The guy doesn't even know what a camera is. And then you look over the right of the screen, that night at 6 o'clock, we're having a Super Bowl party here at the church with a chili cook-off and a dip cook-off. That's going to be awesome. Somebody give me a whoop-whoop on that. That's going to be pretty cool. When I tell you about these things, yes, I want you to come. No, I don't want you to come alone. We're not doing all these things so we're the Christians and we're going to have a Super Bowl party. That's lame. High five, Bible club. You know, like, no. If you know me, I wasn't a church guy when I was growing up. And so some of you church folk, like, praise the Lord, you know, and I got to get out of there, you know. But why do we do these events? We do it so you can bring people. And listen, a Super Bowl event like that, we got some fun stuff going on. If they're just going to sit on their couch at home, bring them. Nobody calls up their friend. They're like, would you like to go to Star Wars? And like, no, you just go show up and pick them up and bring them. Stop inviting people to church and start bringing them to church. I think we'll blow up, everybody. And so things like this, huge opportunity for you. If you're a partner at New Chapel, take it seriously. You need to be the person that says, I am going to be one of those that brings somebody. Because I'm going to tell you why. When you bring somebody to church, and I say every head bowed and every eye closed, I told New Chapel Connect this last week, I'm going to tell all you guys, don't ever tell anybody this. I give you permission to peek. If you brought a friend, you can look. Because I'm going to tell you something. The day that they raise their hand, they accept Jesus, they got a tear going down their face, that's your favorite day at church, everybody. You know what I'm talking about, somebody? That's what we're about. That's the reason why we preach in series. That new series coming up, Heartbeat, is going to be awesome. I'm going to be talking about relationships, heart issues, all of that stuff. Do you know why we preach in series? It's not for the Christians. You're already here. If it was just for you, I'd tell the band to sit down. We'll sing out of books every Sunday. I'm not going to put so much work into this. We're artistic. We're creative. We do different series every month. Why? Because we want to reach those people that are far from God. Let me tell you something. Some people have asked, well, Pastor Joe, you know that these people are going through something. Why don't you preach a message on it? You know why? If I start preaching messages for all the issues that you're having in your life, all of a sudden I'm going to start chasing the needs that you have in your life. Then, who does the pastors of Jesus Christ Church, where does all of the power of God, whose hands does that reside in? The one that makes all the needs. If I start chasing all the problems you're having and preaching that, the need maker is the one that can cause all of my series to come out the way he wants it. That's why we preach proactively messages that everybody needs, and in the course of a year, we hit everything. But when you see a series come out, it's not because I like graphic art. Look at that. That was cool. It's got all kinds of radios on it. It's gonna have a whole like 80s, 90s like love song theme because I love the 80s and 90s. And so anyway, it's gonna be a cool series. And it's a perfect opportunity for you to bring your lost loved ones, the person that you go to school with, the person that you share a cubicle with. Come on, somebody. So those are two things that we do and some of the why behind the what. I want to share with you a little bit about making room. Now, if you think about the story of the little widow woman in the Old Testament, who God blessed with a whole bunch of oil, you'd have to look up the story, it's in 1 Kings, as many vessels as she put out, God filled with oil. I want you to also think about when Jesus in the New Testament, he broke all of the bread and fishes and divided it, and he fed 5,000 households, probably around 20,000 people. What did he do? He separated them into groups of 50. Why? Because he's organized. You look at a big mob of people, you can't tell who ate and who didn't, but in groups of 50s on a lawn, you can say, okay, they've been served, get over there. Now check this out. The Bible says that they all ate to being full, and then it says that they took up some of the leftovers, some of the doggy bags, but they had baskets to do it in. And as much as they had baskets, they had food to put inside the doggy bags. If you don't make room for the blessing of God, you're not going to get the blessing of God. Now, I'm going to ask you a pretty hard question that I had asked myself. If God sent 50 new families to New Chapel next weekend, would we be ready for them? Answer, no. We have enough of a choking point at Children's Check-In right now. We have enough of a parking issue anytime they do anything, which they're the event mafia, you know? I mean, like, you know? I'm about to buy a truck just to compete with some of the personalities, you know? And so, I'm from the north, everybody. So, okay, praise God. Guys, what I'm saying here is this. We have to get our system set, and one of those systems, and this is key, is the Go Team. I need you to join the team. We just help you. We're not going to grow until more of you begin to serve. It will not happen. It's incomprehensible for God to take his blessing and waste it. He won't do it. It's too precious. But if I can get some of you encouraged and on fire, if I can get some of you to realize that this is not me trying to milk work out of you, this is you fulfilling your call before God, and I'll talk about that in a second, that if you can get that serving on a team is another level of small group where there's relationships and community that are just waiting for you there, if you can understand that, you're going to win. And so listen, sign up to be on the Go Team and do it today. If you've known in your heart you're kind of interested in it or that you're supposed to do it, take that connection card right now proudly out. In fact, everybody in the room, grab your connection card, hold it up in the air. Go ahead, everybody. I want to see every connection card in the air. Every connection card. I want to see it in the air. Everybody. Repeat after me. This is my connection card. I can have what it says I have. I can do what... Okay, just kidding. That's a different church. But... you fill that out and sign up for the Go Team. Check the box, and you mark some of the areas that you're interested in serving in. Pastor Brian and I will call you. We will get you on that team. And this is not Hotel California, where you can check out but not leave. Like, we're not going to put you back in kids, and you realize, this is awful. I'm bad with kids. We're not going to make you stay there. We want to find the place for you. But listen, serve. Use your gifts. This is not volunteering, by the way. And let me tell you, that's a very important distinction. Because Romans says that we are the body of Christ, and members in particular, and that we as the body of Christ are called to function. Imagine if your liver, your kidneys, your heart volunteered at the same rate that you volunteer for the kingdom of God, and you're the body of Christ. You know what we need to do is function. Find out what our gifts and talents are. Find out if we got the temperament for kids or the temperament for coffee. You know what I mean? And find the area for us and start to serve. Because I'm going to tell you something, guys. When we begin to add to the team, I want to open up classrooms back there in kids that we know we're not going to use that day. Okay, great. We have two leaders. Nobody came. Wonderful. You guys can go in and worship in church. I want to do that because I want to have all of the pots ready. Because when the oil from heaven starts to come, I know God isn't going to waste any of it. I want to be ready to collect every little bit of the blessing of God that's able to come through our doors. Can I get an amen, New Chapel? Sign up for the team. Sign up for the people clapping around the team, by the way. They're like... Jesus. Somebody back there did a Tebow when I said that, okay? So like, listen, sign up on the team. And what's going to happen is we're going to be ready for those big days that we have on Easter and Christmas, yes, but then also our 7th birthday and different things like that with back to school. Guys, that is why the church desperately needs vision from heaven. Those three things. We're for the next generation. We're for people to grow. and we need to make room for growth. That's 2020 here at New Chapel. We desperately need to get on that same page because Jesus wants us to get close to him. But check this. If you think that you can get close to Jesus outside of being engaged in the local church, you're violating dozens of scriptures in the New Testament. It is only in the United States of America and in Canada that the Church of Jesus Christ, and I use that loosely, thinks that you can have a relationship with Jesus outside of his church. You go to Mexico, South America, China, you go to India, you go to anywhere in Africa, they know that if you're born again, you are plugged into that church. You cannot separate those two things. Ephesians chapter 2 says this, that you are members of God's very own family. Time out. Your membership, by the way, is in the family of God. That's something no church can give you. So if you want to talk about church membership, when you become born again, you're a member of his family. But it goes on. It says, you're a member of God's very own family, and, everybody say, and. Oh, that was weak. Everybody say, and. And you belong in God's household with every other Christian. Do you know why? A Christian without a church is an orphan. You're a free agent. You know, Kai and I announced to the church last week that Kai is pregnant with our fourth kid, and yikes, that's a lot. He's going to be born 2 weeks before our last baby turns one. What's happening? And so, but having three babies and holding these little, you know, infants, they first out of their mama's womb and cutting cords and all that kind of dad stuff. Like, I'm holding this little baby. And you know what I realized about babies? They don't want to be out. It's disorienting. What's happening? I want to go back where it's warm, you know? And then... You know, the process of them growing up, like I have a four-year-old now, and so I've gone through some stages. I've gone through infant, and then infant and baby are two different things. You talk about, like, he's a toddler now, but now Aurelio's not a toddler. Aurelio's a little boy. That's different, you know? And so you begin to see these things, but it takes a family to raise him up. Well, it's the same type of way when somebody becomes born again. It's disorienting. And you know what it takes is a family to come around you and say, this is the way. That's why we're doing New Chapel Grow. That's why we're doing small groups. That's why we're investing in people that are far from God. Because I prayed to God a long time ago, God, don't send us anybody that we can't disciple, at least that we have the programming there to do it. And so guys, listen, what we need to do is be that church that's ready for that growth. We need to be that church that's ready to be able to help people through, but it's through the church. You cannot get born again and serve God outside of the church. I'm going to say it again. Let me say it a different way. You will never grow as a mature Christian apart from being planted in a local church. Will not happen. Inconceivable. Impossible. That's strong, Pastor Joe. It's the Bible. Like, it's really easy to preach. It's written for me. It's so, and just honestly, people think that they can free agent this thing, and it is the local church. And God ties your growth as a Christian to the advance of his kingdom. Let me show you. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We hope that your faith will grow. And guys, I got to tell you, that is the hope of every pastor. I hope that your faith is going to grow. And everybody say, and?
And.
Way better. And that our work among you will be greatly enlarged. Then we, he's not talking about just like we at this point. Now he's talking about we will be able to go and preach the good news in other places far beyond you where no one else is working. He's trying to even say, like, listen, if you think that sitting on your blessed assurance and just giving the pastor a good hearing every week is your version of discipleship, what he's trying to say is, hey, once you jump on, like, I want your faith to grow and our work among you to be large. Once you jump on that, we're going to be able to preach to people beyond just you. Now, I've been in this game long enough to see churches that have made that discernment and they've fallen back on just discipleship or just evangelism. But if there's a respiration, if you're reaching people and you're discipling them and you see a church that's breathing people in and raising them up, here's what happens. You don't have to make the determination in between discipling somebody. In other words, you growing and you reaching people. And you might think that you're some rank sinner. You thought that the whole like roof was going to cave in when you walked in here. But I'm going to tell you something. God has not called perfect people to witness. He's called forgiven people to witness. You're not perfect, but you are forgiven. And you have a story however far along you are if you're a Christian. And so when you begin to think of your life and your calling in those terms, you're going to realize that your spiritual growth, write this down, and the advance of the church are destined by God to go hand in hand. For me to say we need you is very limited because you need me. Mm-hmm. Try to do it without a shepherd. Come on. I've watched people fall on their face over and over again. And I'm not saying I'm all that in the bag of chips, but I am a great covering. I'm a stable man. I'm a good leader, and I love you. What I need is some people that doesn't look at the churches as something that's cheap, but they take up arms and they say, let's take on hell with a squirt gun. I think that's you. I think we can do it together. Somebody say amen. Well, if you've been blessed by New Chapel, that's awesome. But it's us together. God's hope is that your faith increases, but influence is enlarged. And that is what Jesus was trying to say in John chapter 20. He was trying to take them on a journey. They did. They were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. But part of that spiritual journey, he said, as the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. When he's trying to convey vision to not only the disciples, but also to all of the church that would come for the next several thousand years after him, he says, in the midst of it all, as the Father sent me, I'm sending you. And Christian, that is the call of God on your life. You are sent. You are called into your workplace to be a witness for Jesus. You're not called to go in there and be their judge or their prosecutor. You're to go in there and be their witness. Witness about the great things that God has done in your life. What you're going to see is the goodness of God shown both in your advance and in the churches. What are you talking about? June 5th, 2004, I rededicated my life to Christ at a church. And it was an awesome experience. Now, immediately, I was like, God, how can I use who I am to reach people for Jesus? And I started to think about like where I was. Now, at 17 years old, I was a little bit of a perfectionist and a little bit of an achiever. And so I was the student body president, drum major of the marching band. I was the director of the school plays. I was in debate, forensics, quiz bowl. I was on the Fremont Area Foundation. I was on the city council in an unelected spot, you know, planning the sesquicentennial, just normal 17-year-old stuff. And so at that season of my life, I had all of this influence because God had a call on my life for administration and leadership. Well, it was in that season that God touched my heart, and I started to think, how could I leverage who I am and where I'm at in my life for him? So here's what I came up with. You know, during prom and homecoming and other dances that we would have, the small town that I was from, just north of where we're at, about 45 minutes, really struggled with teenage pregnancy. So you'd see like 9 months after homecoming, there'd be like a lot of those month birthdays. And so, you know, then there was a big party culture. They'd go out to that woods and they'd party. And that's bad enough, but it was also really dangerous because they're driving. And so with all of those things put together, I came up with this idea that as the guy that was in charge of planning homecoming, what if we picked up as many kids as we possibly could, teenagers, on buses, and we did like an overnight, and then we dropped them off on Saturday morning. They'd be so tired during the day that they'd sleep during the day, and then they'd go to the dance, and hopefully they'd be tired after that dance too, because they stayed up all night the night before. Well, I brought the idea to my church, and I remember little Cheryl Palasek. She helped me get all of the different promotions together, and I had a good relationship with the principal. And so we put together a video, and he let me stop all the classes and show a video for a church event at a secular high school over all the different TVs on closed circuit. And so they watched it, and then for the next like 4 to 6 weeks, he let me show it on repeat during the lunch hour. So that was awesome. And so the night of homecoming came, and we hadn't sold a ton of tickets. I mean, it was going to be a good event, but not crazy. Well, that night, we won against our rival, the Grant Tigers. It was on. And so we sold out of tickets that night. In fact, there were so many tickets sold, we finally just got a Sharpie marker out and we're writing on people's hands. Two-thirds of a secular high school jumped on buses and they went to the church first. We had a rock concert for them with crossover bands. Remember 2004, 2005, everything was crossover. We're really cool. We're crossing over, you know? So we had a big concert for them with pizza, and then we put them on buses, and we went all to the Star Theater. Everybody know what the Star Theater is? You know what I'm talking about? Before it got gross, when it was really cool, okay, then it got resurrected again, it got born again, baptized, now it's AMC, okay? So, like, we went there, and we saw a new movie that was coming out that night called Finding Nemo. Saw it in theaters. I was there. And so then we took two-thirds of my, I'm just blown away the whole night. And we took them and we went up to Howard City. That's how you pronounce it, everybody. To Skate Estate. I remember Jamie doing twirls. I'd be like, you're a dweeb. You know, like, but we went to Skate Estate. And we all went and skated. And then we went bowling. And then we went back to the church at 6 a.m. in the morning. We're having breakfast. And I was amazed. The local representative was there, Mike Pumford. And we have the principal of the school. And this community rallied behind it. And they're serving the food. And I'm just, they're at my church. I'm blown away. Well, just so happened that following Wednesday, our youth ministry was finishing up all of the remodeling on our youth room. And we were doing some pretty serious promotions on our grand opening. That Wednesday night after homecoming, we had over 100 first-time visitors at our youth ministry in a town of only 1,000. And 69 of my peers, my teenage peers, accepted Christ that night to the glory of God. Come on, somebody. Now, let me tell you something. I'm not telling you that because I'm so good. In fact, I actually get after youth pastors that tell kids, go reach your whole high school for Jesus, because I'm actually the closest thing that's ever done it, and I'm like a unicorn. It just doesn't happen. I want them to reach a couple of their friends and know some Bible verses. That'd be great if you were a senior and had that down. I'm saying it for this reason. I was a nobody. I'm just a 17-year-old dude. And so I just wonder where God has you in your life. And you might be like, well, I'm not going to reach my whole like business for Jesus. But like, you are cubicle mates with somebody, or you work next to somebody, or you see somebody, or maybe you, every time you go to Myers, you run into the same person, or you go to school with people that are all around you, or you know somebody from back in the day on Facebook, and they're liking all your stuff, and there's the impetus for relationship, and you can invite them in. Gang, we need to take these empty seats as a serious matter. I want some rank sinners fanny sitting in my seats. I want some of you guys that are godless buggers, came in here, got born again and baptized. I want your friends and family. You're like, you don't want to meet them. I do. I want you to bring the people that think they have it all together. They're very posh to sit down their dairy air in my seats. Because I can do something you can't do, and you might be able to do something that I can't do. I'll tell you what you can do that I can't do. You know your friends, family, coworkers, and people that you go to school with. I don't know them. But you might not feel comfortable like leading them to Jesus, or they might not be there yet. They need to experience his goodness for a while, and I can do something you can't do, and that is do my little magic trick where I say, every head bowed and every eye closed. And like I told you, peek. Because we're in this thing to change lives. I want you to see also from that story that my personal faith grew like crazy. It was in that season I was selling tickets for the event that I accepted my call into ministry. I was sitting with my mentor, Cheryl. She's the church accountant, all like 4 feet of her. We're selling tickets, and I look over and I say, Cheryl, I really believe that I'm supposed to speak for Jesus. And Cheryl went over and she spoke the most profound words to me. It was me receiving my call. And she said, no, duh. And we both laughed. That was my moment, everybody. My faith grew and the church advanced at the same time. And the same thing's going to happen to you. When you're serving people and you're like, I don't know if handing out these weeklies is making any difference, it's making a difference. When you're back there and new kids, or you're back there in nursery or preschool and you're teaching, oh, I don't know if I'm making a difference. You're the first preacher of the gospel that Aurelio and Salvatore and my little Franco has ever heard. Some of these workers that are back there. Jen is one of those people. Guys, if we can come together, I'm not saying anybody does anything crazy. Sign up for the Go Team is like pretty easy. What do I want as a pastor? I want you to get wet, like get baptized. You know, I want you to join a small group and join a team. Because I know what God's going to do in that process. Now listen, I have just presented a compelling and clear vision. Habakkuk chapter 2, last scripture I'm going to share with you. Write the vision and make it plain on tablets. Gang, I can't make it any more plain than I just did. Now here's your response, that he may run who reads it. Write this down, let's run with the vision. What are we going to do in 2020, Pastor Joe? We're going to reach the next generation like we never have before. And we're not going to make the discernment between growing like we never have before. We're going to put out pots for God to fill with oil. What does that mean? We're going to make room for growth. We are going to see growth at New Chapel like we never have before. We will see our strongest fall that we ever have yet. 2020 will be the year of the greatest advance for New Chapel thus far. We will open a daycare. We will expand our footprint. We will reach the next generation. Why? Because we're going to run with the vision. We're not going to sit on our hands anymore. We're not going to resign that somebody else more holy is going to do it. When you realize how unholy they are just as much as you, you might be the spiritual leader of the team when you grow and join that team. You can do it. Run with the vision. Run with what God has called you to do. Don't take yourself for granted. Have clear eyes, a full heart, and say, God, I want everything that you have for me in 2020. Can we give God praise at New Chapel? Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for my church. That God, we are spurring one another on to good deeds. That today we are full of vision. That we are going to run with the calling that you have on us. God, I thank you for the generosity of this group. I thank you for the service of this group. I thank you for the prayers from this group. That God, this year will be our year. Because all of us, all together, all hands on deck, we together are going to be your church. We're not going to resign it for the few frozen chosen at the top. All of us are going to reach people that are far from God. Lord, I thank you that we're going to do it in the context of our personality and character. We're not going to be weirdos, but Lord, while we are being ourselves, we're going to show people your goodness because you are good. And Lord, I pray that if there's anybody in here listening to some family business, really, and they don't know you, that you'd help me to find them. In Jesus' name. Y'all look at me. If you hear a message like this, and it is encouraging, and you want a relationship with God, the only way to make that peace with God is through his only son, Jesus. When you call Jesus Lord, the Bible says you'll be saved. The church is actually going to pray this with those of you praying it for the first time, or maybe those of you in the room that are coming back home. They're going to pray it with you as a declaration of their faith. But if you mean it from your heart, the Bible says that you'll be saved. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Say this prayer loud and proud, New Chapel. Say, Father, in Jesus' name, I come before you today in search of a new way. You said in your word, if I would call Jesus Lord, I would be saved. Jesus, I now call you Lord. Forgive me of my sins. Wash me clean of all unrighteousness. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for washing me clean. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Can we give it up for those people that accepted Christ? Stand up on your feet, New Chapel. Now listen, if you did pray that prayer for the first time, or if you're coming home, you don't have to come down to the front, but if you would fill out that connection card that says you accepted Christ, check that little box. I want to send you a letter talking about next steps that you can take in your faith. Make sure that you fill that out. If you do want prayer for any reason, we will have prayer partners down at the front who want to agree with you in the Word of God. So don't leave this place if you have a need in your spirit, soul, or body. Couple things. Next week, everybody say next week.
Next week.
Next week's like the center of the universe. We got Pastor Tommy, a Super Bowl, and we're taking communion. And so we're not going to be taking it with the dip and chili. We're actually going to have communion elements, but next week's going to be a big day for that. Also, after church today is going to be the second part of New Chapel Connect. You don't have to go to the first one to go to the second. Like, you can start with two and then end with one. So if you've never taken that today, we have food and childcare. So lunch is provided as well as childcare. So jump in with that. Also, with our Next Move campaign, I'm happy to say the total amount pledged is up to $172,600. And the total given so far, $21,438. Because of your generosity, thank you. You know what that tells me? You're taking it seriously. And that together, we're going to reach our city for Jesus. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine on you. May the Lord be gracious unto you, lift up his countenance upon you, and give you his peace. And as you go, get out of here, guys. Have a great weekend.
We hope that you were encouraged and brought closer to God during this message. You can listen to any of our past messages and series either on this podcast or on newchapel.com/watch. And be sure to connect with us on Facebook or Instagram to stay up to date on everything happening here at New Chapel.